Let me try to finish a little bit. So let's look at how we can make our salvation sure. How we can be a part of the congregation. We don't boast to be the congregation, but we as fellow servants, like united together, we proclaim the work, the kingdom of Elohim manifest in the congregation of Elohim, the Ecclesia Theos, the Kahal Elohim on earth, to do his work, to be saved from this dark world that is destined to be destroyed. Because Elohim so loved the world that even though this is the reign of darkness, Elohim will save whoever he's looking. The Spirit is looking to find whoever wants to be saved. Whoever wants to be saved. There are not many from generation to generation. There are not many. That's why it says many are called, few are chosen. Let's make sure we are among the few. And let's make sure we work hard to get as many others as we can to be saved. Because this system, this evil system, will be destroyed. In Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14 says, speaking to the to those who want to be saved. Let me start at verse 9, actually. And this is the Apostle Paul addressing the congregations in Colossae, the Colossians. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, and in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the sovereign, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of Elohim. That's what you and I, we need to strive to do. That's why we need to pray for ourselves and pray for each other, that we may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom, and be able to perform every good work. And not only do that, but increase in the knowledge of Elohim. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. This dark world will keep throwing evil at us. It doesn't know when to stop. It doesn't know when to stop doing evil. And it makes our lives, who are trying to do what's right, difficult. Remember what Messiah said, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The work of Elohim is not hard. It really isn't. It's the darkness that makes it hard, because they withstand everything good and they keep throwing evil. We're in this dark generation. So that's why, as he says, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance. We need to be able to endure and have patience and have joy. He doesn't want us to have patience and suffer. That's difficult. But if by the Spirit we could even rejoice in our afflictions, in the hardships, then we are overcoming the world. Remember the accounts of the apostles? We won't turn to there. And how some of them were beaten. Did they go and cry, oh my goodness? No, they were rejoicing. They were in prison. They were singing, rejoicing. They were beaten. They were rejoicing. This is not done by flesh and bone or by reading of texts. It is done by the fellowship of the Spirit, by the Spirit indwelling us. Okay, may we never have to face those situations. But if we do, when the hardships come, if we do the things that are pleasing, where we're not pushing, resisting the Spirit of Elohim, where we allow the Spirit of Elohim to dwell in us and to baptize us in due time, we will be able to withstand all the darts of the adversary. So it says, and we will have joy. We won't try to have joy. We will have joy, because the things of darkness, the pains and sorrows that will affect the ordinary person without the Spirit, will not affect us the same way. It's evident. Remember Paul. Paul, while he was preaching, he was stoned and dragged and stoned and left for dead. But when the disciples came around him, he just got up. Did he got up and then went to bed to rest? No, he got up and went to minister. So that's to show you, with the power of the Spirit, the things of this world will not affect us as it would normally do. This is a great gift. This is why, as Messiah said, the kingdom, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Cannot. It's a real powerful organization that Elohim has building and places on this earth. That he builds on this earth in the darkness, giving thanks to the Father with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. There's a time of light that is coming. The time of light is already in the heavens. That's why in Revelation it says, "Rejoice, O heavens! Rejoice, O heavens! But woe to the earth, because the adversary has been cast down to you." Dear brother, let me tell you quickly, this is not a future in heaven. This happened a long time ago. But some preach of it as if it's a future thing. No, that happened a long time ago. That's why we have all the sufferings. In the heavens, there's peace. Satan cannot ascend into the heavens. He's been cast out. Yeshua saw him cast out many years ago while he was on earth. He does not ascend to the heavens. He cannot accuse the brethren before Elohim anymore. That is history. But Satan has been cast down to the earth. And so this is why we have that miserable state of darkness. But the day is coming when the kingdom of light from the heavens, the kingdom of heaven will stop Satan and overcome every evil thing. So who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light? He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. This is why our Messiah said we are in this world, but we are no longer of this world if we are his. We're no longer of this world. We're physically here, but we belong to another government. We don't belong to the government of darkness. We don't belong to the system of darkness, which is going to pass away, which has a limited time, because Elohim is wise. He did not start his kingdom in light only to have it be interfered with darkness. Since mankind and others chose darkness, he allowed the darkness to start first. But the kingdom of light is already there. He's letting the kingdom of darkness wear itself out, beat itself up, and eventually he will eliminate the kingdom of darkness. Look carefully. Aren't the people of the darkness beating themselves up? Aren't they like destroying themselves, ripping themselves apart for real when you look at it? Look at the decisions some of the so-called the best among them are making. In high offices, look at the kind of decisions that they're making. They're like people standing on a piece of wood on a tree hanging over a cliff, and they're taking a saw and they're cutting and they're laughing, thinking they're hurting others, but they're cutting the branch they're standing on. Could you imagine that? That's how this world system, it doesn't make sense. It's truly in darkness, engrossed in darkness, in apostasy. But don't worry, for who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light? And he has delivered us from the domain, from the power, from the kingdom, from the government of darkness, and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness for sins. This is what this is about. This is what Pentecost is about. To receive the spirit of Elohim and to be baptized when we're ready, when we yield ourselves completely to the spirit, to be baptized of that spirit, to have that power where the spirit, where Elohim will speak on our behalf. For the spirit testifies on our behalf, the scripture says. Don't let that pass from you, because we only have our lifetime. We don't know how long our lifetime is. It may be long by human standards, or it may be very short. So let's number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom, so that we may what? Rejoice and be glad. So why? Did he establish the congregation from this world? Why is he saving? But so that he can transfer us into his kingdom. Right now, we are written in the book of life. But when his kingdom comes to destroy this world, we won't be destroyed in it, with it. We will be a part of his kingdom of light that already exists and is just waiting for the appointed time to return. Remember, the disciple says, "Will you soon, will you now return, restore the kingdom to Israel?" He didn't answer them. Why? Because they were not ready. they did not fully understand what Israel was. Because they thought Israel was flesh and blood. They did not fully understand yet that Israel is whoever Elohim calls Israel. As I've mentioned before, remember Jacob. Jacob was the supplanter, the one who takes possession of what is not his. He was in essence a thief. That's what Jacob means. Oh, Jacob. But when the time was right, Elohim made a covenant with him. The word of Elohim, the Logos, came and made a covenant. It says, you are no longer Jacob. I call you Israel. It's not Jacob. Jacob is, Israel is not flesh and blood. Israel is whoever Elohim wants to be Israel, whoever is fit, whoever is qualified. And this is why Paul says, not Israel is not that which is just of the flesh and blood. Just as the Jerusalem and all Israel on earth, the land are all symbolic, and the tabernacle is all symbolic of the heavenly things, of the true things, the physical nation of Israel is symbolic of the true, symbolic of the true. But the true Israel are those who do the will of Elohim, are those who walk with Elohim, are those who fight for Elohim, those who stand for Elohim. That's who the true Israel is. So it's not a matter of flesh and blood. So he will translate us to his kingdom. I'm going to try to end so we could allow enough time. There's a lot I wanted to cover, but I will not cover all of it. Let's just read a little bit from Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and we'll read a little bit from Corinthians, and then we'll try to conclude. So Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. It says, Paul, an apostle of Messiah Yeshua, the anointed Savior, by the will of Elohim. So he was an apostle, not by his own will, but by the will of Elohim, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Messiah Yeshua. Grace to you and peace from Elohim our Father and the sovereign Yeshua Messiah. Why can grace to you and peace from Elohim our Father and the sovereign Yeshua? Why are they greeted like that? Because they are faithful in Messiah Yeshua. Sometimes I read this all the time, grace to you, and the things don't connect. You know, it doesn't say it, because sometimes we're not thinking. The reason he says grace to you and peace is because they qualify for that. Notice to the Corinthians who were not so faithful, he did not so much speak like that to them. But what he spent more time exhorting them to do what's right, because they were not doing what's right. But to the congregation of Ephesus, he says, grace to you and peace from Elohim our Father and the sovereign Yeshua. What was the qualifications that they could experience this peace? They were faithful in Messiah Yeshua. So he continues in verse 3. Blessed be the Elohim and Father of our sovereign Yeshua, who has blessed us in Messiah with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Why is Ephesus hearing this? Why is the congregation of Ephesus hearing such grand things? Verse 1. They are faithful in Messiah Yeshua. When we are not faithful in Messiah Yeshua, we will experience much of what John was told to tell the congregations written in the book of Revelations, such as Laodicea and others who were sinful. They did not hear grace and peace. Rather, they heard, you need to repent so you can have life. Otherwise, you will suffer. So the congregation of Elohim chastises them whom he loves. Sometimes in our sufferings, we might be reading this and it doesn't connect. Grace to you and peace? I don't have peace. I don't feel so like I have so much grace. Then we need to just make sure when that happens, that's Elohim in his love telling us, get back on track. Get back on track. Great things are stored up for you. Do not be like Esau, who despised the things of Elohim for temporary things. Esau despised his birthright. He would have owned everything. His father was rich. Isaac was rich. Esau would have inherited everything his father had. But instead, he scorned it just for some food. Now, yes, don't think Esau wasn't really he was in a serious situation. Other accounts show that he wasn't just being silly, but no matter what's going on, do not despise the work of Elohim. When we are in trouble, pray to Elohim for strength to endure. Pray for Elohim to change things for us so that we can rejoice. Not rejoice and go back into the situation that brought us to hardships, but rejoice in righteousness. Blessed, verse 3, blessed be the Elohim and Father of our sovereign Yeshua, who has blessed us in Messiah with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He knew these people, this faithful group of Ephesus, before the heavens and the earth were created. He knew them before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Why were they chosen? Because he knew they would do his will. That's why they were chosen. He knew it. He knew in advance. Okay, these are going to do what I want. They're set. I'm going to save them. The kingdom will be for them. Elohim is not a respecter of persons. What he does for them, he will do for all of us who are faithful to him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Messiah Yeshua. He didn't predestine us to do what's right. Notice it says he knew before the foundation of the world that they would do what was right. So because he knew they would do what was right, he included them in there. His book is his registry, his record of life for adoption through Messiah Yeshua according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace. Grace? Grace? Grace is not just forgiveness. Grace is a gift, giving, empowering. That's what grace is. That's why we're saved by grace, because the grace enables us to do things. It's not just, okay, I'm going to have mercy on you, so that's my grace. No, grace is more than that. Grace is having mercy on us, but it is in the sense of enabling us, giving us the power to do what is right, giving us the power to repent of sins and overcome sins and to do great things. That's the grace. To the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. The Beloved, that's Messiah. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Wisdom and insight. So he's done in understanding, he's done in foresight. He doesn't just do it without thinking rashly. He did it through wisdom. He has known from the past, before all were created, that those who would do what's right in his sight. And he is speaking about those who would do what's right in this dark world. That's why they will be saved, because this darkness, this evil situation must be destroyed. It cannot be a part of the kingdom of righteousness and light. But before it is destroyed, he will salvage all who want to do what's right in his sight, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Messiah, in the anointed, as a plan. Remember I said it was a plan? As a plan. He doesn't just do things. Remember what Messiah said, like the person who starts building and can't finish? He is not like that. He thinks it through with wisdom and insight, and he commands it to be, and it is, and it cannot fail. So as a plan for the fullness of time, not just one thing, it's a plan, it's a project that he established for all that will affect all things, for the fullness of time, to do what? To unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So this plan will work everything out as he wills, so that we who were the first to hope in Messiah might be to the praise of his glory. Remember, even Pentecost is a type of first fruit, is a first fruits. But the one that happened at Messiah's resurrection, on which the day Messiah rose from the dead, is first fruits. It's called specifically first fruits. But Pentecost is also a time of first fruits. But we are a type of first fruits to the praise of his glory. Because in this dark world, those of us who are being born since Adam in this dark world, generation to generation till today and beyond us, who choose to be him are the first ones to choose him on planet Earth. That we who were the first to hope in Messiah might be to the praise of his glory. Because despite all the darkness, despite all the temptations, all the suffering, we say no to darkness. And we say yes to righteousness, yes to Elohim, yes to his Son and his Spirit. In him you also, when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation, of your Yeshua, and believed in him, were sealed with the Spirit, sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Who is what? The guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. A lot of people ask, you know, if you're saved, can you lose your salvation? This is a big study, but it's an easy study, really. But I'm not going to go. But I'll tell you, no, you cannot lose your salvation. You're either saved or you're not saved. The problem is many people are saying they're saved and they're not. That's the problem. Yeshua can't save something and lose it. It's impossible. He said, those who are in my hands, I cannot lose. So how could you lose your salvation? He's the one who saves. We don't save ourselves because many people think they're saved. They're living in sin and so on and so on. And they're not saved yet. But as long as they have life and breath, they can be saved. But once you are saved by who? Yeshua, by his hand, by the hand of Elohim, the Spirit, the Son and the Spirit. Nothing can separate you from the love of Messiah once he saves you. But people are confused. They don't understand that. So like we saw in the book of John, when Messiah breathed on him and said, receive the Spirit. Whoever sins you forgive are forgiven. Whatever you bind will be bound. That's the seal. They received that seal. But 50 days later, they were baptized. The baptized is the testimony of, not the testimony of man, but the testimony of Messiah, the Spirit, saying, this is my child. Listen to what he or she says. I am working through him or her, because the Spirit then testifies on our behalf. When we are baptized in water, when we repent of our sins, Elohim knows that we've repented of our sins. But then when we go into the water of baptism, it testifies to all by the water that we've gone in, that we've repented of our sins, that we want to follow Yeshua. But when the Spirit baptizes us, the Spirit testifies by his work, by his powerful work in us, that we are his. That's what's going on, dear brethren. So we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our salvation until we acquire possession of it. Of what? The guaranteed possession to the praise of his glory. So much we can say, but let's summarize. So Elohim has a plan. He created us to be his family. And he created this plan, as we read in Colossians and Ephesians, that cannot fail. And he knows in advance everything that would happen. And when mankind chose to do evil, he allowed evil to reign first so that evil might be swallowed up in victory, in light, forever. And evil will never exist again. And his glorious kingdom will grow and grow and grow and grow. The things of this world will be forgotten. Why? Because they are of the darkness. They will be, this whole world will be burnt up and dissolved into what it was originally. Remember? He says the earth was void without form, without shape, and darkness was over the earth. It will be burnt up to its primal. There will be nothing that this generation, this evil world system created, will not exist at all. It won't be buried. It won't be buried. In the flood of Noah, many things were buried deep under the earth. Some probably can't even find them. But when this fire comes from heaven to destroy wickedness and evil, nothing will be left. Everything will be dissolved, undone, and everything will be made new. New heavens, new earth. And we who are from this dark world will literally be translated into that world. And then going forward, there will only be righteousness. Righteousness. Forever and ever. Thank you for listening, brother. So this is the purpose. Let us make sure we are his congregation. Let us make that our salvation sure this day, so that we can be sealed with his Spirit, that we can be baptized by his Spirit and do a great work, a work like Sister Rose and others do, to gather the brethren, to gather them so that they can be saved, so that we can be a light. A light for what? So that others who are looking, where are the others? Where are the others like me in this dark, cruel world? Where are they? Oh, I see a light over there. I'm coming, brother. I'm coming, sister. And we will unite together. That is the will of Elohim until his kingdom come. Thank you for listening. Many blessings.